Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration. Glad to be here. It is Monday night, 10 o'clock p.m. here in Calgary, Alberta. It is June 17th, and we're just picking up where we left off from last Monday, looking at information from Havoca.org, H-A-V-O-C-A, Havoca, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. They have some good information on that website for survivors of abuse, so if you haven't seen it, you can go take a look. I was trying to put the link into the chat room, and I couldn't get it to pop in there, but I did put where the information is coming from, Havoca.org, and we're just going to continue on looking at that. So yeah, I'm glad that you can join me, and I appreciate everybody who's been tuning into the shows. And you know, I don't quite often have the chat room open, but tonight it actually popped up for me, so I'll just leave it up there. Most of the time I don't have it open, but yeah, I appreciate everybody's taking the time to listen into the shows, and hopefully you're getting something out of it. I know that these shows, like, they're helpful for me just to look at this information and read through it. It just makes sure that I'll continue on my healing journey, because I'm busy and I'll put it off and, you know, do other things, and instead of spending some time looking at what I need to look at. So we're looking at boundary issues. And if you think this information, like if you're a survivor of abuse and you think this information might trigger you, you got to be careful, because you don't want to be triggered and end up going backward in your healing journey. So you need to, if you don't know how to know whether you're safe enough to be listening, get that information. You can get it from ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and Morris Center Program, called the Survivor to Thriver Workbook. You can also get it from NASCA, N-A-A-S-C-A, NASCA.org. I'm the Alberta Ambassador for NASCA, National Association for Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And we're all survivors. We're all volunteers, and we all work to help other survivors of abuse, as well as just to educate the public regarding the issues of child abuse and, the issues that adult survivors then have to go through. So you can get information really about how to stay safe as a survivor of abuse all over the place. And you know, if you need more info, and I don't list it here tonight, you can get a hold of me or get a hold of somebody at NASCA. We'll be glad to help you out with info that we might have that might be helpful for you. So if you're not sure if you're going to be safe enough listening, just turn the show off, and you won't be hurting my feelings at all. And just make sure you keep yourself safe so you don't, you know, go backwards in your healing journey and then, you know, regress and then possibly hurt yourself or hurt somebody else, right? It's very important. And, so you're not triggered. Other people listening, you just have to listen at your own discretion. I'm talking about abuse, which is a very sensitive topic. And I've had to live with this my whole life, so, you know, I'm okay talking about it. But, for some people may find it really uncomfortable or might bother you. So you have to make that decision for yourself and know what's good for you to listen to and know, you know, what's not. So you make that decision for yourself. And then turn the show off if it's bothering you, or, you know, you won't be hurting my feelings at all. And we'll get right into this. So this week I'm doing good. I was a little triggered. I've been a little bit triggered, but then it was Father's Day yesterday. So I never really do all that well on Father's Day. All those holidays that roll around that just remind me, you know. I see posts on Facebook, you know, and I'm happy for all the people out there that had good dads, and it makes me happy to see it. And both of my parents were my abusers, so it's unfortunate, but that's just the way it goes. So Mother's Day, Father's Day, very triggering for me. And so this is always a triggering time of the year for me with those two holidays rolling around. And, you know, just seeing the posts and stuff, I sit there and I just remember my situation, my relationship with my own abusive parents, and I just, you know, it sort of drags me down a little bit. I try not to think about it too much because it's just depressing. But it always makes me happy to see some posts from people who've had good relationships with their parents. You know, it's wonderful. I don't have a clue what that would be like, but I can imagine it would be very nice because I know what, you know, what it's like to be treated well by other people outside of my family and who now are really my real family, right? Who, you know, so I know what it's like to be treated well by people. My late husband who just passed away, he was awesome and he was very good to me. And so I know what love is, and I've been really blessed to know in my adult life some really wonderful people. And even in my youth, you know, people that were being helpful to me because of my situation. They kind of knew I was struggling and tried to help me out. And so, you know, I've been really blessed to have people in my life that stepped in where my parents sort of didn't do the right thing by me. Other people sort of have, through the years, sort of made up for that in a way. And so I've been really blessed in that area, but not everybody is. And so, you know, it's kind of tough for people out there, especially with these holidays rolling around. So I was a little triggered and still am, and that's okay. I'm working on trying to quit smoking cigarettes, and because I'm so triggered, it's harsh. I'm just running back to the cigarettes, and it's terrible because I was doing so good. I went a whole month without cigarettes, and now I'm back to wanting to smoke. So I'm sure it's just triggering, so I'm going to have to do some work. And so, you know, this show is good for me to do, so I'm glad to be back. So we'll get right into this. You know, normally I do a meditation and stuff, but because this information, I want to cover it. And this is a lengthy article here, this boundary issue stuff. I haven't been doing that, but as far as how am I doing, I guess, you know, I'm sort of triggered, so I need to do some work. What do I need to focus on? Boundary issues are a huge issue for me, so I'm glad we're running through this stuff. I haven't been doing a lot of meditation or anything like that lately, mainly because it's just been so difficult with my husband passing away, and I'm dealing with that. Because I'm dealing with the grief of that, I find that I really can't concentrate too much on my healing journey right now because I have to, you know, it sort of has to be all done and sort of when it needs to be, sort of when it needs to happen. And because I'm still dealing with grief from losing my husband, he passed away last August, so it's almost a year now. And I'm coping quite well with that, but I'm still grieving, of course, and missing him. And, so I find that I can't really do the healing work that I need to do, but I'm hoping to be able to concentrate a little bit more on it to, you know, every week just to try to do a little bit more work in it, try to do more self-care, more self-nurture, do my studies like I was working on with the, what was that called? It was actually I still have it. It's just sitting here. I haven't done any work in it because it's dealing with the CSA child sexual abuse. And I sort of put that on hold. So there's a lot of things I need to work on. But I suppose, you know, as long as we're doing something, just anything to try to help ourselves, including reaching out to others, you know, that's the important thing, is not to struggle on our own and not to suffer on your own, and make sure you reach out to somebody, you know, whether it's a friend or if you don't have a friend to talk to, or, you know, somebody like that, then, you know, maybe join a support group. There's all kinds of them. I'm facilitate the ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, a Moore Center program. I have a Calgary group that meets, but I had to put that on hold because my husband passed away and I just couldn't deal with it. But I'd like to get back to that. So there are groups out there you can join online. You don't have to go anywhere. Or if you want to do something like that in person, you could look around where you live and see if there's a group going. Just make sure that you get some help. You know, talk to a counselor, whatever, therapist, whatever. You know, just don't struggle on your own. Get some help, right? That's very important. So we're going to pick up where we left off. We're looking at boundaries, and we're looking at the issue of choices. And it's from Havoca, H-A-V-O-C-A, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. information for survivors under their personal boundaries tab and looking at the section of it called choices. And we left off where they were saying that, you know, we need to own our choices. We need to, but that we do have choices, right? So one of our choices really is to make sure that we're not being abused. Stop setting ourselves up to be a victim, right? To remove ourselves from relationships with people that are abusive, right? We can end friendships. We can end relationships. We can leave jobs that we're finding toxic or abusive. We can make these choices, but we really all have to own it. It's our life, right? Especially as adults, you know, as children, we didn't really have a choice. I was talking about that last week. You know, children don't have a choice, right? We're being abused, and, you know, I was abused for years and years and years, and by my parents and one of my siblings. All of my siblings were toxic, but one of my siblings sexually abused me, and so it was sort of horrific. You know, there was no safety in my home. I really didn't have a choice. You know, I was just stuck in that, but I could have run away, I suppose. You know, I thought about it and, you know, thought about what I knew would happen to me on the streets. So I thought, well, I'd rather have my parents abuse me than somebody else. That was the whole issue of it. Because at least I knew what was coming instead of the mystery of somebody else. Everybody was an abuser to me when I was growing up. I really felt that all adults were abusers. And because I grew up abused from birth, right? So I didn't know anything different. And I just didn't want to be dealing with somebody else's abuse. So, you know, this is just the issue. It's so hard. You know, we need to know that we do have choices, right? As adults, as children, we didn't. But now we do. So anytime they said that we don't own our choices, we're empowering victimization. So when we blame the other person and or blame ourselves, it's a vital part of the process of learning to love ourselves and taking responsibility for being a co-creator in our life. You know, that we can make these decisions, right? So we'll pick up from right here where we left off. It is essential to own that we have choices in order to escape the codependent, suffering, victim, martyr role, or the other extreme, which is being abusive in order to try to make others do it right. And that is to do what we want them to, right? So both the people who appear to be victims and the people that appear to be abusers are coming from a victim place in terms of blaming others for their behavior. Quote unquote, I wouldn't have to hit you if you didn't talk to me that way, is a victim statement. Both victim and perpetrator are coming from a victim perspective, blaming their behaviors on others or on themselves. Quote unquote, I can't help it. That's just how I am. So this is statements that people could make. I know I heard that growing up. You know, I wouldn't have to treat you like that if you weren't such a this and that, right? My parents were always blaming everything on somebody else, either their children or my mom was always blaming my dad. My dad was always blaming my mom. They were both always blaming the children for the treatment that we were receiving. So I heard that lots when I was growing up, and I can't help it. That's just how I am. I haven't never really heard that, but my dad did say stuff like, well, that was just the way it was back then. That's just, you know, when I talked to him about, you know, later on in life as an adult, what he did and his part of the whole abuse stuff, because I used to talk to him about it, and, you know, he would never own up to it. He just said, well, that's just the way it was back in them days. You know, that's how you treated your children. That's how you treated your wife, you know. And I'm like, what a lame excuse, man. I like what they have to say here about that. You know, it's essential to own that we have choices in order to escape the codependent, suffering, victim, martyr role. My mom was that. My mom was abused as a child, and then she became this whole suffering, victim, martyr. You know, she was so hard done by because she had all these children to look after and didn't want all these children and this abusive husband. She was the suffering one when actually she was the abuser. In the children's case, like she was abusing me and my siblings, well, I think when they were small and then as they got older, you know, she was still abusive, but she really liked to abuse the little ones because she could get a hold of you and really, really give it to you. But it's really horrific, you know, like she was abused herself. So she then, you know, took on the situation where, you know, she was going to make sure that people were going to do it right around her, so then she became an abuser, and then blaming everybody else for her behaviors, right? She would never take responsibility. Neither one of my parents took responsibility for their behavior towards each other or their children, which was kind of part of the reason why I was so angry at them, because they would not own up to it and they would not apologize. They would never make it right. There's no way you can take back abuse. But, you know, as adults, then dealing with adult abusers in an adult situation, what I wanted them to do was own up to what they did. And they never did. They never would. No, I was always blaming somebody else. So we then have to be careful that we don't become that. That's real easy to do. Because then all of a sudden, well, you know, the choices that I made, if I blame those on my abusers, for instance, the choices that I've done as an adult, you know, to whatever it may be, drug use, alcoholism, I mean, whatever we may have going on in our life, not being able to hold a job down, all kinds of things like that, where we're just blaming somebody else and not taking some of the responsibility anyway, if not all of it, for some of it. No one's forcing me to smoke cigarettes, right? I just do because I have an addiction problem that I need to work through. And it's my fault that I have that addiction problem, even though the abuse, the reasons that I'm sure the reason that I smoke is because of the abuse. It just helps me cope. It's my little security blanket, right? Instead of doing some other drug or something else, or alcohol, which I don't really like alcohol that much. I don't mind having a drink here and there, but I'm not an alcoholic and never have been. But I'm a major smoker, and I've just, that's my thing. That's what I do. It's my security blanket. You know, that's what I carry around with me. And I know that it's probably stemming from the abuse that I'm so hooked on it. I didn't start, you know, nobody forced me to smoke a cigarette. It's not like somebody put a cigarette in my mouth and made me smoke it when I was younger that got me hooked on it. It's just the fact that as an adult, I need to make the right choices for myself. So that's just one instant. You know, another situation, you know, there could be any situation, right, that we might have going on in our lives, for instance, or being in an abusive relationship as an adult and blaming somebody else and saying that they have to be in that relationship. It's like my mom. She did that. You know, she was abused herself as a child and then married this man. He abused her. She had all these children. She didn't really want these children, all of us, right? Unfortunately. But she didn't want to look like a bad mother because her own mother was an abuser. See, her mother is the one that abused her. So she didn't want to be her mother. You know, she didn't want to look like this bad mother. So she stayed in this relationship, and she really felt stuck. And I don't blame her because I know, I mean, you know, I saw what was going on. I understood the situation quite well, and later on in life as an adult, she really felt trapped, and she would say that she was stuck in that situation. What was she supposed to do? I mean, she would talk about it. She'd be like, what was I supposed to do? Leave him and with all of you kids, you know? And then she ended, of course, she'd throw the guilt trip on. Well, if I did leave and I would have lost you all, you know, to social services, and I would have lost my children, as if she really loved us and really wanted us. It's like, you know, it was a lie. The whole thing was a lie. But that way she could keep the whole victim martyr thing going, see? We have choices to make, you know? And then at the end of the road, we can't sit around and complain, really, about certain things. It's like, you know, if I end up with lung cancer from smoking, whose fault is that? That's my fault, you know? If I don't allow somebody to treat me right and I end up in an abusive marriage, let's say, whose fault is that for not getting out? It wouldn't be my fault for the abuse, because I'm sorry. There's just no reason to abuse anybody. But it would be my fault for not getting myself some help and getting out. That would be like me right now not getting help and self-injuring and ending up in the hospital because of self-injured. Whose fault is that? Nobody would be forcing me to self-injure. That would be my fault. We have to, as adults, take responsibility for our behavior. We also have to take responsibility for our actions, and we have to take responsibility for our choices, because they truly are our responsibility as an adult, and it's tough. It really is, because half the time, I don't know what to do, because I don't have the information. I'm missing the information. I don't have the information on how to be a healthy adult. I have the information on how to be a very screwed up, dysfunctional adult. I can do that really well, but I don't know how to do anything right because I don't have that information. So I have to figure it out. Like, as I go along, I have to get help. I have to watch healthy people and how they operate. People that have healthy, you know, lifestyles and healthy ways of thinking, I have to kind of watch them and try to mirror them And, you know, you run into people or you know, see somebody that you know has a healthy lifestyle going on. I mean, nobody's got a perfect life. I mean, that's just absurd. But there's people out there that do seem to have a good head on their shoulder and seem to have their life pretty straightened up, you know, going pretty quite well for themselves. I tend to try to mirror people like that because I'm like, well, they're doing this and they're doing that. That seems to work. But, you know, nobody's perfect. And I don't necessarily come down too hard on myself for not getting it right all the time because I'm coming from behind the eight ball. You know, that's the thing. I'm not expecting to be able to do the things that these people are able to do. You know, it's because I don't have the skill set, right? And that's, you know, it takes me so much, it's so much more of an effort, really, for survivors of abuse because we don't have those skill sets. So this is why it's really important to do this work and do these studies and read through this material. You can pick and choose what sort of, like I pick and choose what's actually, how do you want to say that? What applies to me. Like some of the stuff, if it doesn't apply to me, I just leave it. But if it does apply to me, I pick it up like a sponge and I try to remember, or I'll, you know, I'll keep it somewhere. I'll keep the information in a file or whatever. Or I'll keep the book and I'll, you know, mark the page or whatever. You know, because not all information is going to be useful to us, but some of it is, and that's the stuff to concentrate on. And so some of this stuff's interesting. Like they said here, you know, both the people who appear to be victims and people that appear to be abusers are coming from the victim place. That's bizarre. That's quite interesting. It says, when we look outside for self-definition and self-worth, we are giving power away and setting ourselves up to be victims. We are trained to be victims. We are taught to give our power away. As just one small example of how pervasively we are trained to be victims, consider how often you have said or heard someone say, quote-unquote, I have to go to work tomorrow. When we say, I have to, we are making a victim statement. To say, I have to get up and I have to go to work is a lie, they said. So they said, no one forces an adult to get up and go to work. The truth is, I choose to get up and I choose to go to work today because I choose to not have the consequences of not working. So today, to say, I choose is not only the truth, it is empowering and acknowledges an act of self-love. So when we have to do something, we feel like a victim. Oh, I have to do this, right? I have to do that. I have to do laundry. That's something that I do have to do. And because we feel victimized, we will then be angry and want to punish whomever we see as forcing us to do something we do not want to do, such as our family or our boss or society. And we always have a choice. If someone sticks a gun in my face and says, for instance, your money or your life, I have a choice. I may not like my choice, but I have one. In life, we often don't like our choices because we don't know what the outcome is going to be, and we're terrified of doing it wrong. It's kind of interesting what they have to say here. Even with life events that occur in a way that we seemingly don't have a choice over, being laid off, work, or the car breaking down, or a flood, etc., we still have a choice over how we respond to those events. So we can choose to see things that feel like and seem to be tragic as opportunities for growth. And we can choose to focus on the half of the glass that is full and be grateful for it, or to focus on the half that is empty and be a victim of it. We have a choice about where we focus our minds. You know, this is so true, and this is exactly where, I guess, what feeds me and gives me the fuel to do what I'm doing, because I watched my parents do this half empty glass thing all the time. And, oh, life was so tragic. Everything was when I was growing up, because my parents were mentally ill with different, like my dad was psychotic, literally, with schizophrenia. My mom was, they used to call it manic depression, but she was, it's borderline, what do they call that? What is that? Manic depression, bipolar. Nowadays they call it bipolar, but it used to be called manic depression. So everything was a crisis. Every little thing was a crisis. You know, you spill your milk, it's a crisis. Oh my God, somebody's got to get beat, right? It's like you know, if I spilled my milk, I'd get beaten on because, oh, I made a mess. Oh, I spilled the milk. How could I do that? I'm an insolent little rotten child that needs to be beaten on, you know. Or if I come in, if I used to come in the room and with a look on my face, a certain look on my face, it was a crisis, you know. My mom would be like, get that look off your face, right? You know, and then just give her an excuse to beat on me, right? Everything was this crisis. It's all in how you choose to respond to things and how you choose to see things. You know, because I grew up around such crazy, absolute crazy behavior. Because, you know, my dad, I mean, you can read my books if you want to. You can go to my website, Born in Hell. I've got them there. You can read them for free if you want to. I've got them there as PDFs, but you can buy them if you want to. But I just put them there for free because I don't want the money for those books. I really just wanted the information to stay out there for my public information as well as for my brothers, you know, because their lives were just so horrible. And you know, I just feel so terribly sad for my brothers, you know. They died such horrific deaths, and they lived such horrific lives. They never really got to know love or care. They never really got to know anything good. It's unfortunate. But, you know, it's all in how we look at it. And this is what I decided at the age of 42. I was like, wow, am I just going to sit here and be a victim and continue this cycle on of that I had myself in this cycle of wanting to end my life and suicidal ideation and, you know, I'd never attempted suicide or just always thinking about it because my parents had set us up for that. And, you know, my two of my brothers killed themselves and, you know, it's just horrific. So I thought, am I just going to continue this on? I mean, I know I'm screwed up, right? I know why I'm screwed up. So why do I keep doing the same thing? It's like, and expecting different results. You know, I could go to work and work all day, no problem. Have fun at the barbecues, no problem. I'm a very high-functioning survivor of horrific abuse. And yet, you know, you come home. I'd come home at the end of the day, sit on the couch, and want to end my life. Can't cope with myself, with my life, with my past. And I thought, something's got to change, man. I just can't keep doing the same thing. You know, like at 42 years old, it took me to that age to finally pull it together enough to get to realize that I needed help, you know, and that's ridiculous. But I'm so glad that I finally did something about it. Right. But, you know, this is the issue, like to continue seeing things the same way is tragic. That's what's tragic. Because it doesn't, they never get anywhere. My parents never, ever reconciled. They, you know, hated each other right up until the end. It was just absolutely a nightmare. Like they would not, and no matter how much their children told them that they loved them, and it none of it mattered to them. Because they were so self-centered and so full of anger and so full of hatred for their life that they created. I mean, they didn't create the fact that they were both abused. Both of my parents were abused as children. But the issue is they didn't get any help, you know? And they just continued on in that horrible, horrible, horrible spinning, spiraling downward into this nightmare, you know? And the thing is we don't have to do that. We have choices. We have choices on how we're going to respond every single day when we wake up in the morning. Every single day when I wake up in the morning, I realize that it's just a great opportunity, you know, that I have that a lot of people didn't get. And I just try to make the best of it, you know, and look at the good things instead of the bad things, right? We have about a minute left. This show just goes so incredibly fast. It's just, wow. I can't believe a half an hour's already gone. But anyway, I would say, you know, whatever you do, get some help. Do not struggle on your own. Like if you can't cope and you don't know what you're going to do, you call a crisis line. You do the right thing. You get yourself some help. You don't struggle on your own and, you know, spiral out of control. You don't deserve that. Nobody does. But we have to make a choice as an adult to want to see things differently, to see ourselves differently. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is taking it one step at a time, one, you know, like they said, one day at a time, one moment at a time. it's really, for me, it's kind of like, it's not just a daily thing, it's kind of like an hourly thing. It's like, I keep focusing on this, right? So, you do whatever you have to do, but you take it easy and get some help. Have a good night, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Mm-hmm.